This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
And we're back. What's up, everybody? How you doing? Yes, Vince Quinn back with you here on CBS Sports Radio. James Graceffo producing the show as always. And it's funny because, like, we always joke about, for one reason or another, I'm going to get fired from this show. And I'm getting a loud and clear message tonight. I come in, I'm getting ready to do the show. You know, I've got all my notes and my water bottle, all this different stuff. I lay down on the desk in front of me. Lights are out in the studio. I go, oh, okay, well, I guess I got to turn on the lights. Keep going to the light switch. Light's not turning on. We're doing the show in the dark, and I take this as an ominous sign that this could, in fact, be my last show. So strap in, folks. It's going to be a wild one.
There are technically lights on in there.
There's, like, a light in the corner, but...
So, like, you're talking like I can see you, so we're fine.
Sure, sure we are. You say that to the host that fills in for me next week.
3 hours and 59 minutes to go.
There we go. We're going to make it. So, a lot of things to get into here, by the way. Because, I mean, holy crap, the NBA, just the amount of stuff that's been going on in the NBA is completely insane, right? Like, this week opens up for the NBA, and you have everything happening all at once. For every offseason, for every sport, it's usually staggered out a little bit, you know? And for the NBA, I mean, hey, you have the offseason, everything that goes on the offseason, then you get into the season, then you're having the lottery, then you're having the draft. You had all of it just in a week. In a week. It's a lot of stuff in a short amount of time, allowing trades to happen within the NBA, a very active trade league, having the draft a couple of days after that, having free agency a couple of days after that. It's just a lot in a small amount of time. It's a lot of moves to keep track of. And when you run down the list of all the things that have happened, I mean, there's a billion things that have happened. You know, it's crazy in a way. It was a shame in a way because I'm watching the draft the other night, and as I'm watching it, it was like, wow, I just haven't had the time to learn about any of these people. You know, you hear about guys hearing that, like James Wiseman got kicked out of school for a really dumb NCAA scandal. So, you know, it was something ridiculous. So he wasn't playing this year. That's how I heard about him. You hear about LaMelo Ball, naturally. But a lot of these guys, we just didn't have the opportunity to really sink into the draft. There just hasn't been that chance. And now the draft has come and gone, and it's buried in between all these trades and trade rumors and signings. And it's like the draft didn't happen. So it's just been a very strange and unfortunate thing in a way for the NBA, who, let's be honest here. Like, the NBA gets so much attention because it's a great drama league off the court. There's so much to be said for the players and the agents and the GMs and the moves that they make and the constantly, is this guy going there? There was a rumor. I want to get into this a little bit later, but there was a proposal that was starting to float around in NBA front offices of a 7-team trade. Okay. 7 teams. That's insane. It's not too surprising for the NBA, but somebody had the audacity in an NBA front office to float 7 teams getting together and working out the math and the picks to feed all of them.
Outrageous.
I can't believe it. I really can't. But that's what the NBA does. And that's what makes the NBA so appealing. The moves make it great. The NBA, compared to the NFL, for example, you look at the NFL, and big trades happen once in a while, sure. But the volume of trades, the ability of big stars to get moved around, quarterbacks, for example, don't get moved around. You know, if I was Deshaun Watson, I would beg to get traded at this point, but that's a conversation for another day. You just think of the NBA is very stagnant. It's not good at coming up with creative moves. The NBA is all about that, right? It's all about movement. The idea of, oh, here we go. It's midnight. Here comes trade season. And everybody, like, screenshots. Oh, I'm following alerts for Woj. Here we go. You know, strap in. And then, you know, not a whole lot really happens. But that's the NBA. That's what drives it. And this year, here's the fascinating thing about it. It's not just that when it comes to the NBA, you had a million moves that all happened in a short amount of time, and you're keeping track of the trades and the drafting and the signings, but as much as a lot of stuff happened, and some of it felt big in the moment, you know, as you're sitting there and refreshing Twitter or you just hear it on the news, however you get your news, once you found out about those moves and stepped back a little bit and you take it in, you realize that not a whole lot's really happened. Because you got to think about the NBA, right? The NBA is a dynasty league. That's how it operates. That's what they want to be. They want to have a team win the title for 4 straight years. The Warriors, what they did a couple of years ago, that's what it's all about. That's what they want. That's what they believe in. That's how they market the league. Dynasties, the old Lakers, the old Celtics, like that. That's how they do business. And when you think about the league now, again, a lot of things happened. But has anything changed that really unseats the Lakers, right? Has anything changed where you go, you know, I don't think they're the best team in the NBA. I think it's over for them. And I'll just open up right away. 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So, again, the thing that I'm looking at here is, how has anything really changed in the hierarchy of the NBA? Has it moved in any significant way? Does this change what you think the outcome of next season is going to be? Because we're getting ready in just, what, a week and a half here? I mean, December 1st, teams are going to be showing up. End of December, they get into action. We're about a month away from the start of the season. Is there any reason to believe that the Lakers aren't the odds-on favorite, overwhelmingly likely to go and win the NBA Finals next year? Is there a real challenger that you buy? Has something changed enough? Has a team in the last couple of days made enough moves where you say, you know what, I think they can beat LA? Because right now I don't feel it. And the NBA a lot of times is like that, right? In the way that it is a dynasty league, it's a top-heavy league. Mostly over the past couple of years. It's been, okay, there's 3 or 4 teams that really matter, and maybe somebody else shows up that's interesting, and that's about it. Last year, that team was the Heat. But when you look at the hierarchy of it now, I just don't feel like anything's really changed. It just looks like it's the Lakers' year to lose, and unless LeBron James gets injured or Anthony Davis gets injured, it's going to be the same old, right? This is going to be what we see yet again. Lakers won the finals last year. They'll win the finals again. Has it changed? 855-212-4227. Because running down the list, like, okay, let's look at the Clippers, right? Clippers, hey, they got rid of Doc Rivers. They scapegoated him. Does that make them better? Not really. I don't think Doc Rivers, and I know there's problems with Doc Rivers getting down in series historically, and, oh, he won with the Celtics, who were great with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Ray Allen. How great of a coach is Doc Rivers? Fine. Okay? Be critical of Doc Rivers if you want. Was he really the Clippers' problem? Problem's Paul George, okay? Paul George was a guy they gave a big-time contract to, or they traded everything to get, and once they brought him in, he was terrible in the playoffs. Okay, that was the problem with the Clippers. They could change all the coaches they want. Unless they can get Paul George to play well in the playoffs, they're not going to beat the Lakers. They're not going to get the opportunity to play the Lakers in the conference finals. You know, like, that's where it is right now. And by the way, Montrezl Harrell just went over to the Lakers. So when I'm looking at the hierarchy of all of this, I'm going, are the Clippers, because I was buying the hype. I mean, I was shoveling it in. Like, I was at a buffet. You know what I mean? Crab legs at the buffet. It was just, give me all this I could get. Kawhi Leonard, building a super team, taking over the league, Game of Thrones style. It was fun. And I wanted to believe that that team could go and beat the Lakers last year. It didn't happen. They're not good enough. They've got the playoff problem with Paul George. I just don't see it happening, right? So I'm taking the Lakers. Team I was high on just last week. And this is how, unfortunately, things change so quickly. But if I was going to make an argument for a team that was going to beat the Lakers this year, it's the Warriors. Klay Thompson's out for the year. He tore his Achilles. Whole different equation now. The Warriors. Going to be fun. I'm not going to ignore the Warriors. Steph Curry's my favorite guy to watch. But are they beating the Lakers? No. Like, this season's over for the Warriors. They're not a championship team. They can build things. They can figure some fun stuff out. They've got a future. We'll get to that more later. But, I mean, what are the Warriors this year? You betting on the Warriors to win the finals? No. They're going to lose. If they ever got to the point where they were playing the Lakers, they would lose to the Lakers. They're not good enough. Hasn't changed much. The Bucks. Bucks made a huge trade, right? The Bucks went all in on Drew Holiday. Now, I love Drew Holiday. He's a good player. He's really fun. And for a guy that had a lot of injuries early in his career, to figure that out and have some stable seasons and great play, it's been fun. Good for him. But Drew Holiday going to the Bucks, does that change anything? Like, is that enough that you believe that, for example, that gets the Bucks over the hump in the East? That's what does it. They've had a lot of problems in the playoffs. I don't know if I'm not at the point right now where I'm going to look at the Bucks and say Drew Holiday gets them over the top. If they pull off the Bogdanovich trade, maybe. That could have done it. Bogdanovich, Middleton, Giannis, Drew Holiday, that could do it. That could beat the Lakers. I could believe in that. Right now, I don't believe in it. It's not enough. They gave up a bunch of picks to try to keep Giannis. Might not work. So what did it change, right? That's the thing. I just keep running through all of these different teams in my head, and I just don't see enough movement. It's movement, sure. Like, Chris Paul ends up with the Suns. That's fun. You know, good for the Suns. They're a team, they've been a forgotten team. They usually have to fight to get national attention. They're a team that's going to get a lot of national coverage now. Good for them. They'll be fun to watch. There's going to be a lot of things to talk about with the Suns. Good team, exciting team. Good for them. They're not beating anybody. Like, Chris Paul is not going to swing the balance of the West right now. It's just not going anywhere. It's staying the same. For the Heat, like, little moves here and there. Jay Crowder's gone. Avery Bradley's in. Okay. Like, does that change anything? Does that make them any better this year? Are they getting over the hump past the Lakers if there's a rematch? Probably not. I don't see it. The teams that you can make a case for, like the one team really that made moves in the past couple of days, in this past week, that you could say change the balance of the league, is the Sixers. That's the one team outside, if you want to buy the Bucks, that's the one team you can look at and go, wow, they made a lot of moves. The team's actually, and this is a surprise, it's actually built around Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid now. Who would have thought? The Sixers seemed allergic to that idea. They were never interested. But they finally figured that out. Daryl Morey comes in. Doc Rivers comes in. Danny Green's on that team. Seth Curry is on that team now. They've got shooters. They've got two of the best shooters in the league on that team right now. That's a big upgrade for them. And getting rid of Al Horford, addition by subtraction for them. Right? So, okay, could the Sixers have made enough moves that they get past the Lakers? Maybe. But the Sixers have so many problems that I need overwhelming evidence if I'm going to jump on that train, right? If for me to get behind the Sixers in a way where I look at the state of the NBA and what it takes to win a finals and go, I believe in the Sixers, they need to be like five superstars deep. I mean, their playoff history is awful. Injury problems with Embiid, Ben Simmons disappearing in the playoffs. Like, they have legitimate issues. And as much as they've made good moves right now, there's reason to believe that Philadelphia is an actual team, which is great because, I mean, selfishly, I'm a Sixers guy. But I'm not putting them over the Lakers right now. Are you crazy? They got way too much to earn. It's just not enough yet. They're a good team. They're a competitive team in the East. That doesn't mean they're better than the Lakers. And again, that's what I go back to here is with all of these moves that happen, is anybody making enough moves, making significant enough moves, that they're better than the Lakers, who have the consistency, right? Now LeBron's been there. This is going to be his third season there. It's his second season with Anthony Davis. The guys that come and go, let's be honest, LeBron's dictating that, right? He's choosing the team. For Rondo to go to the Hawks, you don't think they asked him, like, hey, LeBron, what do you think about bringing back Rondo? This is what it's going to cost. You don't think he has any say, any knowledge on that? He's fine with it. He's like, yeah, that's fine. We got Montrezl Harrell. He's coming in. Let's get Schroeder. They brought him in. They're going to be fine, right? So for the pieces that they've moved around, for all the shuffling that it's been, it is LeBron James. It is Anthony Davis. That's the best team in the league. So it's fun right now. Don't get me wrong. Like, this is what makes the NBA great, is all these different moves. And frankly, just bugging out, like people just getting so obsessed about moves being made, or, Woj, how come you haven't tweeted anything? I'm desperate for news. Like, that stuff is fun. But it just feels like it stayed the same. Here's the one thing that actually changes something in the NBA. The only piece left, the only domino left to fall that has any major significant impact where I can look at another team and go, this team is better than the Lakers before the season starts, it's James Harden going to the Nets or the Sixers. And that's it. Unless that happens, unless there's some sort of major trade like that, I'm not buying anybody outside of LA. That's it. It's the only team I got. It's going to take James Harden. If you think it's going to take Russell Westbrook, that's on you. I'm not making that leap. But 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn. You can join the show at It's Vince Quinn on Twitter if you want to hop in there. I always try to get to tweets at It's Vince Quinn. I mean, are the Lakers the best team in the league? Is there anybody? I mean, do you buy the Bucks? Maybe you think the Bucks are better than the Lakers now. Maybe you think this is going to be the year for them. You know, enough playoff upset experience. Maybe adding Drew Holiday does get them over the hump. If you want to make the argument, I'm happy to hear it, but I just don't buy it right now. So 855-212-4227. Then we had just, I mean, me and Crisefo talked about this for quite a bit before the show. There was quite a head scratcher of a signing within the NBA today, and I want to get to that next. Keep it right here.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Girl, I must warn you.
Listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I always think of Scrubs when I hear this song. Did you ever watch Scrubs, Grisefo?
Not particularly.
No? Scrubs is a great show. I mean, it's like the dumbest, silliest humor, but it's so good. They had a great episode where they had a band and they're dancing to Poison, and it's a great scene.
Donald Faison doing a little dancing.
Yeah, he's good. It was a good scene. But I always think of Scrubs whenever I hear this song. Great song though. Shout out to Belvid DeVoe. This show is dedicated to you. You want to hop in? 855-212. Yeah,
855. I'm very tight with them.
Oh, you're good friends with Belvid DeVoe?
Oh yeah.
There we go. We got to get him on the show.
We're not tight with that.
You already talked to them. They're like, no, man, we're buddies, but we ain't coming on the show. There's no chance of that. We're doing great. I'm Vince Quinn here on CBS Sports Radio. If you want to hop in, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. You can also reach out on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. And I was just looking on Twitter during the commercial break. This came out a couple of hours ago from Adam Schefter, but oh my God, if this is not the most horrific thing you'll ever hear in your life. So this is a direct quote from Adam Schefter's tweet a couple hours ago. Quote, so altogether, Saints QB Drew Brees suffered 11 rib fractures, 11, 8 on his left side, 3 on his right, per Ed Werder.
What?
Yes! 11! How many ribs do you even have? I mean, seriously, 11?
Was that a new report or an old report?
It's a new report. But we knew there were rib fractures before. And here's the other thing, too. It wasn't just the rib fractures when it comes to Drew Brees, but collapsed lung, which I don't know what a collapsed lung actually is. Like, if I had to explain what a collapsed lung was to somebody, hey, Vince, you work in sports radio. Surely you understand what this collapsed lung is. No, I do not. It sounds horrible. It sounds horrific. I wouldn't wish it on anybody because I can't imagine that's fun. But to have 11 cracked ribs and a collapsed lung, it's crazy. Because one of the things is, you know, I was going through the injury report. So Pro Football Talk, for example, every week, the day before a game, 2 days before a game, they'll lay out the injuries for every single game, every single team. And you go through and you see certain guys, and you go, oh, okay, this guy's got an ankle injury. He's not going to make the game. You have to think about how horrifically injured these people are to not actually play in the game. Like, we always take it for granted when it comes to football players, but or athletes in general. But what these guys have to go through to play anyway, you know, all the things that they get injected with before they go and suit up in a game, painkillers and whatnot, for them to actually say, listen, coach, I can't play, or for a medical staff to look at a professional athlete and go, yeah, man, you're not playing this week. Horrific injuries. Horrific injuries. I mean, even the smaller, more routine ones are bad injuries. And now you hear about Drew Brees, who has 11 fractured ribs and a collapsed lung, and he could be back in 4 weeks. I don't even know how he's breathing. I mean, seriously, how do you breathe with 11 cracked ribs? I have no idea. It's unbelievable to me. But, you know, it's just going to be one of those totally forgettable things. Like, when Drew Brees goes to the Hall of Fame someday, we will never look back on playing a football season a couple of weeks after 11 fractured ribs. But that's going to happen. They expect him back, last I read, was like 3-4 weeks from now. So, I just...
That's absolutely ludicrous.
It is. I don't know how that happens, but it's amazing. I mean, it's just the toughness of these guys. Again, it gets taken for granted. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, anyway, 855-212-4227. We started the show talking about the NBA here, and it comes down to what's really changed. You know, what's the biggest thing? Has there been a move that's big enough to actually swing the balance of the NBA, the hierarchy of the NBA? Because I look at the Lakers, and I look at the NBA, and I go, they're the best team. They're going to win again. That's just where I sit. That's how the NBA typically works. The best team, more often than not, wins. That's how it's built. So I see LeBron, I see AD, I saw they just won. History's going to repeat itself. But I thought about the one team that could change things, and unfortunately the biggest move that happened in the NBA this week was Klay Thompson got hurt. That was the single biggest thing that happened, was Klay Thompson tore his Achilles, and he's going to be out for the year. And obviously it's not just the short-term implications, because you figured, and my argument just last week was, well, the Warriors are going to be healthy. They had all this time where they weren't in the bubble, extra time to rest, so they're going to be good to go. They know each other. Steve Kerr, great coach. Like, they're just going to pick everything up. They're going to be just fine. Maybe Wiggins is better, whatever moves they make in the offseason. They added James Wiseman, pick number 2 in the draft. Like, they were going to be good. And now Klay's out. And everything, you know, they're not going to win the finals this year, and it's a shame. But as much as that impacts the season this year, and they're not going to win it all this year, I'm not counting them out long term. You know, it's easy to say, because now it feels like it's been a long time, just because, one, 2020's felt like it's been 15 years long. They had the injuries last year all over the place. Now they're going to be out of the running this year. You're going to think about the picture, and in the moment, it feels like, and you can make the argument, some people will, that the Warriors' window is closed. It's just it's a casual argument. I don't think it's any good. You know, that's the thing, is when you look at the Warriors and what the Klay Thompson injury means, it just means they're not in it this year. That's it. Like, looking at next season, okay, so let's say the, you know, 2021-22 campaign, whenever that starts, whatever that looks like. Assuming Klay's healthy enough, whatever that means, following a torn Achilles. Like, Klay Thompson is one of the best shooters the league has ever seen. So he's going to be able to shoot. You know, he's going to be able to do that for a long time. Is he going to be quite the same defender? Probably not. But can Klay Thompson hit buckets when you need it and do it routinely? Probably. Can Steph Curry do the same thing? Probably. Even if, you know, by the end of this season, Klay Thompson, 31, Draymond, 31, Steph, 33. That's where they're going to be. Can they still hit shots and be a dominant team? Yes. Can they make adjustments around those guys to figure it all out? Absolutely. So it's a bummer for the Warriors right now. I've always been a fan of that team. And for them to be at this point now, it sucks. But their window's still open. Long term, the Steph, Clay, Draymond trio can still win another title. Definitely not over in my book. But if you want to talk about it, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Jamal, who's in Atlanta. Jamal, what's going on?
How you doing this evening?
Yo, what's up?
Man, I'm actually excited about what the Atlanta Hawks are doing. I think they put a lot of talent around Trey. The Gallinari trade, signing was a really good thing for us. He's a consistent shooter. He's also like a big player. So defensively, you know, seeing John Collins, Clint Capella, Gallinari, and I think Cam Reddish might have a big step up in working with Steph over the summer. And then having Rondo being a secondary playmaker when Trey comes out the game, I think it's going to be really big for us because our offense would completely stop as soon as he sits down. So I think that, you know, we're going to be very much improved. I definitely know we're going to make the playoffs, but I think we're going to shock a lot of teams in the NBA.
Well, they're going to be fun, and that's the thing, Jamal, and good points with the Hawks here, is you look at Atlanta, and that's one of those teams that, okay, not earth-shattering stuff, but a couple of solid moves around a young star player. It's a franchise that's been able to build winning teams. You know, just a couple of years ago, they had 60-win teams that, you know, they didn't really go anywhere, but they were very successful regular season teams. So can they figure that out again? And at the very least, because there's a couple of teams like this, they're on a tier of, like, fun and enjoyable, but not necessarily winning anything this year. Like, I look at the Suns, that's the top-end version of it, like a really fun team. You know, one of the NBA-isms is like a league pass kind of team, when you can watch a game, okay, third quarter, fourth quarter just popped on for this game, something else just finished up on the East Coast, turn on the Suns. Like, that's totally going to be what they are. I think Atlanta's going to be one of those teams, too. They're going to be competitive. They're going to be frisky enough to beat a good team on any given night, although it's not going to be the expectation. Still worth watching. So good for Atlanta. Good for Trae Young. Really fun player. And he needed help, and they got it. So good for them. And by the way, I just love Rondo. So for Rondo to be over there as a complimentary piece to Trae Young, I'm all about that. That's great with me. Let's go to David, who's in Toronto. David, what's going on?
I don't know. I'm a little more pessimistic. Rondo, 2 years at the money he's getting, he was just on a vet minimum deal. Gallinari on a 3-year deal, he's getting like 25-plus a year. That's a lot of money for what Atlanta's paying. I hope Atlanta puts it together. I'm rooting for them. But, I mean, Trae Young still can't play no defense. I mean, a lot.
And he won't. That's not coming around anytime soon.
Right, so a lot needs to happen. All these moves, I'm so fat. I love NBA offseason, man. So much has been happening. I have one question for you, though. Yes or no, small ball lineup, small ball, Houston Rockets, small ball lineup. Do you think that, is it dead, yes or no? Did it work?
Well, it's not dead. It's right. For Houston right now, where it is, it didn't work, and they have to blow it up. But there's going to be other teams to do it.
Sorry, buddy. The reason why I'm asking is because right now the Raptors do not have a center on their roster. Masai Ujiri has something brewing. Gasol's going to go to Spain. Ibaka just went to go, what a do, baby, with
the Clippers.
And right now the Raptors are sitting here with a whole bunch of small fours on their Raptors, and something is brewing. And if you're going to give Gordon Hayward $120 million, Van Fleet just got 4 years, 85. You can't tell me you'd rather have Hayward than Van Fleet right now. So a lot of people still, once again, sleeping on the Raptors, sleeping on Masai. That's okay. You want to get excited about Rondo and Danilo Gallinari. Great. Sounds great. But let's come right back to it. I think I have to agree with you that the Lakers are still the team. I disagree. I think the Warriors' window's closed. Klay now hasn't played since 2019 finals. He's not going to be back until 2021. That's over 2 years. He's done. So I don't know, man. A lot's going on. I love it. I love your show. Keep it up.
Hey, thanks, David. I appreciate it. By the way, he's calling from Toronto, which no longer home of the Raptors. They are the Tampa Bay Raptors for now. That's where they're going to be, which, by the way, good sign. Like, honestly, if you believe in, if you're the superstitious type, there's been a couple of things that have gone around. Like, basically, everywhere Tom Brady has been in the course of his life, championships have followed him everywhere. Like, I mean, everywhere. When he was a kid, living out on the West Coast, San Francisco, 49ers, winning Super Bowls. I think it got to a point where he was in college. The Pistons were winning the NBA Finals. Then, obviously, his career with the Patriots, and Boston wins all the titles. He goes to Tampa Bay. The Lightning win the Stanley Cup. Maybe the Raptors following Tom Brady and going to Tampa Bay. If you're superstitious. I'm not exactly a superstitious type, but if you are, exciting. And honestly, I love it. I love that they're playing in a different city. I was selfishly hoping they would play closer to my hometown. It didn't work out. But for them to play in another city is just a fun, weird, quirky thing. I think Toronto is equipped to handle that. And we'll see where all of that goes. But it's just weird because, obviously, why is that happening, right? You might be asking that question, Vince. Why are the Raptors playing in Toronto? Or why aren't they playing in Toronto? What's up with that? Obviously, this is a COVID-related thing. Canada has decided, and we saw this before, by the way, with the MLB. We saw this with the Blue Jays. Because if you remember, before the Blue Jays season started, and this was wild. I mean, they found out just before the start of the season, like days before the start of the season, that they weren't going to be able to play in Toronto. And so they had to find a new place to play. They reached out to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pirates were like, yeah, sure, we'd be happy to have you. And then the state of Pennsylvania was like, nope, get the hell out. And then so they had to find another place to play. Ultimately, the Toronto Blue Jays ended up staying in Buffalo, and that's where they were playing for a little while. But now that's what's happening with Toronto. So they don't have the ability to play all the games as they normally would at home because of COVID restrictions and, you know, crossing country boundaries and all that different kind of stuff. So now they go, they take their services to Tampa Bay. We'll see whether or not they get back up to Canada by the time this season is over. But what's happening right now is the Raptors are going to be playing where the Lightning play. So they're going to be playing in that arena, which is just, it's kind of strange. But the players apparently had some options and picked Tampa Bay. I'd figure part of that is just Florida's weather. If you live in Toronto, right, wouldn't you want to move to Florida for a couple of months, especially when the season is in the winter? Doesn't that sound like a smart move? Isn't that more appealing to you? Because that's what I would vote for. If I had to make the pick and I was on the Raptors, which clearly was a possibility in my life at some point. I mean, I am a physical specimen. It didn't quite work out, but I had a shot. If I had that chance to make a vote, I'd be like, yeah, send me to the warm weather and not like 8 feet of snow. Okay, that's not where I need to be. So good for them. 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show, 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn. You can always join the show on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. That's all one word, at It's Vince Quinn. Coming back, the New Orleans Saints have a fascinating choice at quarterback, and they should go with Taysom Hill. That's next.
Hey.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
And smart fandom has gone to an absolutely hysterical level. We're going to get to it in just a minute. I am Vince Quinn, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So let's go to an absolutely wonderful, amazing, hysterical story that takes place in three different cities across the NFL. It starts and ends in Jacksonville, where in the offseason, the Jaguars, and this is a story you might have heard before, had a disgruntled star that needed to get out of there desperately.
True story?
It's a tale as old as time, apparently. So Yannick Ngakoue gets dealt from the Jags to the Vikings. Now, when that happens, not necessarily surprising. He had been begging to get out very publicly for a while, and he gets dealt for a pretty fair package. So here's the deal that the Vikings sent over to Jacksonville. They gave a second-round pick and a conditional fifth. Now, the conditional fifth is where things get legitimately stupid and hilarious. So here's what happened. That fifth rounder is conditioned based on whether or not Yannick Ngakoue makes the Pro Bowl. If Ngakoue makes the Pro Bowl, it becomes a fourth rounder, right? But here's the thing. The Vikings gave up on the Yannick Ngakoue experiment and traded him to the Ravens. So Ngakoue plays for the Ravens right now. But Jacksonville fans are going out of their way to vote for Yannick Ngakoue to make the Pro Bowl. Now, he's not having a Pro Bowl season. You know, he's got 15 tackles, 5 sacks. Good numbers. That's not a Pro Bowl player. So they're voting for him like crazy to make the Pro Bowl. And here's the weird thing. Is that conditional pick that the Vikings gave up to get Ngakoue, they'll still have to pay the price even if he makes the Pro Bowl for the Ravens and not for the Vikings. That is a stipulation of the contract. It didn't say if he makes the Pro Bowl for the Vikings, then it becomes a conditional fourth or bumps up from a fifth to a fourth. It's just if he makes the Pro Bowl anywhere. So Jacksonville fans are voting nonstop to upgrade that pick. Apparently, Bears fans are doing this. Lions fans are doing this. Packers fans are doing this because it hurts your opposing team. It hurts a division rival. It's hysterical. I absolutely...
Boy, that escalated quickly.
It did. And for it to escalate like this is amazing. And so here's what I want to do. For the people in Jacksonville, for the people in Chicago, for the people in Detroit, for the people in Green Bay, I'm on NFL.com. I'm on the Pro Bowl voting section. I'm on outside linebackers. I've just selected Yannick Ngakoue. That is the only selection I've made. And I am about to go and submit my ballot. And it's in. Yannick Ngakoue has officially gotten my Pro Bowl vote. Go Jags. So it's so funny because, one, not having the team stipulation in there is hysterical. To watch him go to the Pro Bowl on another team and still have to pay for the extra pick is too funny. But the other part of this that's hysterical, why would you attach the Pro Bowl to any trade at this point? That doesn't make sense for anybody. That doesn't do anything for anybody to put a Pro Bowl stipulation on a trade. Why? The Pro Bowl's a joke at this point, right? Like, you'd have to put stipulations on top of the stipulations. It'd be like, yes, if he made the Pro Bowl, but really, he actually made the Pro Bowl. Like, he was in the first round of voting, and he wasn't an alternate. He was actually a guy that people believed should be in the Pro Bowl and made the Pro Bowl. But, you know, if you look through Mitch Trubisky's stats, his second year, made the Pro Bowl. Blew me away. But that's how the Pro Bowl works. It's not a real award anymore. It's completely diluted, which is a shame because that hurts the NFL. You know, when people don't care, when 100 and I swear to God, this was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. There were about 125 players that got named to the Pro Bowl because nobody wanted to go. So when you have a third of the league making the Pro Bowl, you know, it doesn't do anything for anybody. So the distinction itself doesn't mean anything anymore. And to attach it to something in a trade is ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. And you think of, like, one of the things that I'm going to harp on all night, because this is just something that's bothering me, is you look at the NBA and their ability to negotiate incredibly complex trades, and they've got all these different pick protections in there and all these conditional things that can happen. But for the NFL, they have not quite figured that out. And you see that in this silly inclusion of having Pro Bowls actually matter. I don't believe it. But that's why, again, I've just voted for Yannick Ngakoue to make the Pro Bowl. Go get him, Jacksonville. So if you want to hop in, 855-212-4227. And Vikings fans, I'm not sorry, okay? Don't get mad at me. Get mad at your GM. It's your GM's fault. This is hysterical, and I had a moral obligation to vote for Yannick Ngakoue. It just is what it is. So 855-212-4227. We were talking a good bit about the NBA. How's the landscape of it changed? There's a lot of moves, a lot of trades, the draft. Is anybody better than the Lakers? You know, that's the thing that I just keep going back to. Is anybody better than the Lakers? Let's go to Lou in Detroit. Lou, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, my man?
Doing good. How are you?
Real good. Listen, you got to let the Warrior thing go. I think it done ran its course. They had a great run, but you're talking. They could make the playoffs next year. I think they'll be one of the top eight, more in that 5-8 range, 5-6 range, somewhere like that. But you're going to be saying almost 3 years since they went to the finals if they don't make it next year, which they're not. And then you got to see how Klay comes back. The one thing that can make them relevant is if they can somehow pull a move and get a Giannis after next season, or somehow go to Washington and get a Bradley Beal. Other than that, they really don't have a bench. Klay's going to be almost three years. He hasn't played a full season. Steph is a year older. Draymond is Draymond. He can't build around him. He's just a piece. The Lakers, the Mavericks, the Clippers, it's just too many. They fell too many notches down to still be relevant. But as for my Lakers, kudos to Rob Pelinka. Everybody, you know, people better pay attention to what this dude is doing. He's becoming Mr. General Manager. He has won the championship, and he has revamped a championship roster and made it younger. He stole a huge piece from the Clippers, signing Montrezl Harrell. He went out, he got Wesley Matthews. He got better at the backup point guard position with Dennis Schroeder. And they're not done. The Lakers are not done. They still have cap space. He's not killing the cap by bringing in people. There's a couple more things up his sleeves. I like what Rob Pelinka has became. Remember, a couple years ago, everybody was saying, blow it up, start it all over. Rob Pelinka has done a hell of a job bringing Laker Nation back to the forefront of the NBA.
Well, yeah, he clearly has, and Lou, I appreciate it. They're the best team in the league right now. They've got LeBron James. They've got Anthony Davis. It's going to carry over for a couple of years because obviously you figure even if LeBron gets older and retires or decides to go somewhere else, whatever he wants to do, you've got Anthony Davis there, and you can build around that, and you can win with that, and it's already been proven. I mean, one of the arguments right now, this is like if you're getting into sports talk hot takery, you get into one of those things where, okay, you get into these big conversations of, oh, well, Anthony Davis is better than LeBron James. It's his team. You know, that's like that big, forceful, here's my strong opinion that's going to shake the sports world to its core. It's not really that controversial of an opinion. And all things considered for the Lakers, that's a great problem. If your problem is Anthony Davis is better than LeBron James, great. You know, so be it. Let that transition slowly but surely happen, and it just becomes more and more Anthony Davis's team. But they'll be fine. They're going to be fine. There's no reason to worry about the Lakers. And again, right now, from where they're sitting, they're the best team in the league. All these moves have happened. Draft has happened. They're the best team in the NBA. So 855-212-4227. Now, I want to get to the Saints here. And actually, Graceffo, we've got a cut that I put in the system over there. We have a Sean Payton response earlier, I believe it was earlier today or yesterday, and I want to play that when you got it, just let me know. But Sean Payton and the Saints have to make a difficult decision. They've got to figure out who their starting quarterback is for tomorrow's game. Now, the choices you have, not great, right? Taysom Hill, on one hand, who is the super gadget player. He's the backup quarterback that plays tight end. He lines up at wide receiver. He's in the backfield. He's on special teams. He does everything. On the other side, you've got a guy that's just a quarterback. It's Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, Mr. 30 for 30. And I'm not talking the ESPN documentary series. I'm talking 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions last year. So who do you start, right? And the argument has been, well, Taysom Hill's a gadget player. He's a bit of a joke. You know, he probably shouldn't be the guy. I've got some reservations about that. And he, I want to get into why Taysom Hill should start in just a second. But here's the fascinating element of this, too, because there's some gamesmanship involved, right? If you're Sean Payton, he's trying to keep this a secret. Now, a report comes out a couple of days ago that Taysom Hill is going to be the guy. He's going to be it. He's going to start, and it's not going to be, you know, Jameis Winston is the quarterback, but Taysom Hill is going to get a lot of snaps too, and it's some weird 50-50 split or a 60-40 split. Like, the report is that Taysom Hill is going to be the guy. Now, Sean Payton was asked about that, and here's Sean Payton.
I haven't announced that either one of those two are starting.
So that was just leaked by someone else, I guess, today?
I didn't see today or what you're talking about.
Oh, it was just a headline on ESPN that Taysom was going to start.
Yeah, I didn't see that. And again, you know, we've had a good week of preparation, and we're looking forward to the game.
So just to clarify, so no one has been named a starter?
Yeah, listen, someone has been named the starter, but we haven't announced it.
Yeah, so he's dancing around it. He doesn't want to reveal secrets, get, you know, game preparation stuff, make the other team prepare for more things. They're playing the Falcons, by the way, so not very good, 3-6, although better lately. Taysom Hill is the right guy to start. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with, it's in part the football of it, but it's also the politics of it, right? There's a lot of things going into this. One, I mean, let's talk about the players themselves, okay? For people that are going to be outraged that, God forbid, Taysom Hill starts this game over Jameis Winston, we've seen Jameis Winston, okay? Jameis Winston had enough time as a number one pick in Tampa Bay. He wasn't good enough. They gave up on him. He hit the free agent market. He signed for $1.1 million. So let's not talk about Jameis Winston like he's some great revelation at the NFL level, okay? He's not. Great college career. That's why he became the number one pick. That doesn't matter, right? That doesn't matter now. That's a totally different world. It's a different life. It doesn't exist. Who is he now? He's not good. So there's not a big rush to put him in. They don't have an investment in him. Taysom Hill, they've had an investment in for quite some time. It's not just the fact that they brought Taysom Hill in, but they continue to buy into Taysom Hill. Like, here's the fascinating thing when it comes to Hill and what he's brought to the table. Because, first off, as a passer, you haven't seen a whole lot, right? Like, we've seen all the gadget plays. We've seen moments and flashes. But he hasn't played quarterback all that much over the course of his career. Taysom Hill, at this point, 20 passes total, including the playoffs. He's thrown 20 passes in his life as a quarterback in the NFL. We don't really know what he looks like now. He's 30. I have no idea what he looks like. But they've kept him around. They've given him opportunities to practice as a backup quarterback, to be in quarterback meetings, be around the team and talked about as a quarterback. So they've trained him. They believe in him in some level at that position. And they made a big commitment to him in the offseason on the idea that he was going to be a quarterback. Like, here's the thing, right? Listen, I want to say a couple of quotes. I'm going to read a couple of quotes for you that Taysom Hill had over the past couple of months. One of them, this starts in February. So at this point, Taysom Hill's a free agent, right? And here's a quote. Quote, as you look at free agency, you have to find the right opportunity for you. You have to find the situation to take care of your family. I want to play quarterback in this league. And if New Orleans doesn't view me that way, I have to leave. That's Taysom Hill in February as a free agent. He's with the Saints now. They re-signed him. They re-signed him for 2 years and $21 million in April. And when they did that, Taysom Hill, again, quote, this gives me a clear trajectory and opportunity for me to compete and be the guy in New Orleans if Drew Brees decides to be done. And if he's not, then we'll figure out another contract or my role will continue to be the way it is. They signed Jameis Winston 2 days later. It was reported that day that they were going to sign Jameis Winston. So Hill was aware of Jameis Winston. The Saints were aware of Jameis Winston. They paid Taysom Hill $21 million over 2 years, knowing they had Jameis Winston in the bag. And they told Taysom Hill very clearly that he was going to get shots as the quarterback. So they got to play him. You got to see what he is. And you might roll your eyes. Oh, well, again, he's just a gadget player. Vince, okay, maybe he is. Maybe he's a god-awful quarterback. But until I see him in a game, I don't know. I just don't know. So they owe it to themselves. They owe it to him for his ability to play all of these different positions and be a team player. They owe it to him to give him that shot, right? And if they don't give him that shot, why did they re-sign him for that kind of money? To be a gadget player and make, you know, $11 million a year, not really good business. So you got to figure he's going to be the guy, and he is the right guy for right now. Is he going to work? Are they going to go on a win streak? Is it going to be like, oh, well, they're going to be fine when Drew Brees retires? You know, probably not, okay? I don't really believe on Taysom Hill on that level either, but I don't believe in Jameis Winston. So give Taysom Hill a shot. Maybe he surprises you. Maybe you have to run a gadgety offense, but it works. You also have to consider the idea that, here's the thing too, with Jameis Winston, one, he turns the ball over like crazy. And there's no sign, he played a little bit last week, there's no sign that you can believe in Jameis Winston just getting over that. You know, LASIK eye surgery doesn't fix your decision making. So ride that train if you want. I'm not joining you. And Jameis is a big arm deep ball guy. The Saints, short, quick, easy, take it for extra yards. That's what they like to do. So when you're thinking about the fit, when you're thinking about the history leading up to this signing, when you think of the unknown factor of what it looks like Taysom Hill at quarterback for a full game, they might as well give it a go. Jameis can wait. He's got nowhere else to be. He's in a good situation. And if Taysom Hill fails, whether it's this game or the game after that or the game after that, Drew Brees, 11 fractured ribs right now. They're going to have a couple of weeks to figure this out. Go with Hill first. If he doesn't work, you go to Winston later. But you got to give Taysom Hill the shot. You just have to. It's the right thing for them. So 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show, 855-212-4227. And I'm Vince Quinn. You can join the show on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. Now, when we come back, there is just a hilarious treasure trove in Oklahoma City, and we have to talk about it. That's coming up next.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, and we're living the Vita Loca here. Vince Quinn, James Graceffo, running the board. This is a great song, Graceffo. Good choice by you. Are you a Ricky Martin guy?
Oh, I mean, who wasn't?
Exactly.
Like circa 1998.
Yeah. Can we pump this up? Can we just blare this right now? Living the Vita Loca. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't enjoy this song.
This is the good stuff. Injected into my veins, as the kids say. Oh, yeah. This was like when music videos first popped on my radar. This was one of those songs that played like 500 times a day.
Great video, too. Dance club video.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, he was kicking you know what out there.
Handsome dude in the video.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good for him. He was. You got to figure, at the peak of his career, Ricky Martin living a hell of a life, right? Like, that, I can't even imagine. He must have had a good time. I'll say that. So
sure.
Better time than I've had. These are supposed to be the prime years of my life. I don't know how they're going. I would say not well.
I mean, look where you are.
Yeah.
On a Saturday night / Sunday morning.
In a studio with no lights on. I'm doing great. I'm doing just great. We're just playing Ricky Martin all night. There's no more sports talk. 855-212-4227 if you want to call in and talk about sports. Here's a hell of a tweet I just got, okay? It's late. I know it's late, so people have been drinking, and that must be where this is coming from. Somebody said, Taysom Hill is a smarter Lamar Jackson, so if you think the former MVP is a good QB, you take Hill. Let's calm down here, okay? Lamar Jackson, one, does not have problems with decision-making, by any stretch of the imagination. Makes good decisions. You know, he's constantly got to make choices of, am I going to hand off? Am I going to keep it? he's not throwing interceptions all the time. Lamar Jackson's problem is he's a little sloppy when it comes to getting the ball places. He's not the most accurate passer. You get, you know, 20 yards down the field. If you get towards the sideline, he's got issues with accuracy from there. Decision making's okay. Like, let's calm down. I don't know where that's coming from. And Lamar's a better athlete. So Taysom Hill's a good athlete. Lamar's a better athlete. So let's not kid ourselves here.
I would not say that. I wouldn't say it either.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it comes down to. That, well summed up, Graceffo. Good work by you.
I would not say that. I wouldn't say it either.
Okay, you know, I'll stop complimenting you then. Done. So here's the thing that is amazing right now, outside of ridiculous tweets, which if you want to hit me up at It's Vince Quinn, feel free. If you haven't seen what has slowly become an overwhelming fortune in Oklahoma City, oh my God. Oh my God, it's crazy. It's crazy because here's the thing. You think about Oklahoma City and what they've gone through over the years. Over the past couple of years, think of what they've seen. You know, you had Kevin Durant and Westbrook for a while. Kevin Durant leaves. You have a stretch where Paul George is in there, Chris Paul. You've gone through a lot. And they got a lot of picks along the way. And if you go through and count up the number of picks that the Oklahoma City Thunder have. Do you know, Graceffo, do you know what the number is of first rounders that they have in the next 6 years?
I want to say it's 16, but I could be wrong.
It's up to 17 now.
Oh, I missed one. 17. Oh, darn.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't have enough fingers and toes.
I know. Seriously, it's crazy. Like, they just added another one, I think, yesterday. So they have 17 first-round picks through 2026, which means basically they can build whatever roster they want.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. Like, this, there are teams that have piled up picks, okay? I was front and center for everything in Philly with Sam Hinkie in the process that set the league on its head, that got Hinkie kicked out of the league, that really accelerated tanking and conversations around tanking. You know, talking about assets was that era of basketball, right? That's how it became a regular term. So I saw it. I've lived it. I've argued about it for a billion years. This is a whole other level. 17 first-round picks in 6 seasons.
You know what the difference is?
What?
Sam Presti and the Thunder aren't telling you they're actively trying to lose.
Well, yeah, they're not as in-your-face about it. And also, they've been able to win games along the way. I mean, they made the playoffs last year. They've got talent. Like, they have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on that team. He's a good player. So, for them to have a good, young, talented guy and 17 picks through the next 6 years, they can do whatever they want. I mean, seriously, whatever they want to do is on the table as long as the players are willing to come there. That's the only hesitation they've got. That's it. That's it. I mean, at one point, if you were, like, this wouldn't happen, but you're the Lakers, okay? Let's have some fun here. You're the LA Lakers. How many picks would it actually take for you to trade LeBron James and Anthony Davis? Could 17 first-round picks, could that get the deal done? 17.
Even then, no.
17.
It's not like you're talking like this is the NFL draft where I can find players in every round. I can't do that in the NBA.
Here's the thing. The Lakers probably say no. But
I think every team would say no.
You have to hesitate on 17 first-round picks.
All these are bright ideas. I mean, when we're talking about an NBA draft, how many real prospects are there?
In a given draft, usually they describe it as like a three-player draft, a five-player
sure.
draft.
Sure, and in this past draft, how many of these guys are really blue-chip prospects?
Yeah, this year, I don't know. I don't know what the number was for this year, to be honest.
Probably one to five, if that.
Like there was not a lot of high praise for this draft.
So, like, we can talk about their amassing of draft picks all we want. There has to be a point in time where the talent is available, they hit on the picks, and let's not kid ourselves. Oklahoma City isn't Miami. It's not Los Angeles. It's not, God forbid, New York. It's not any of these cities where these guys are going to want to go.
Well, yeah, but that's why if you have enough picks and you can convince players, because here's what you have to do. You have to look at players that are star guys in bad situations or middling situations, and you promise them the world. You promise them the world in Oklahoma City. And if they say, I'm going to get out of here, I'm going to go to OKC, you guys need to figure it out. It's just, how many first-round picks do you want? That's all it is.
Right. They're going to have to, maybe they'll find the right, you know, guy who is disgruntled. But here's the one thing I'll give them credit for. They are smarter than everyone else because they are basically counting cards at the table. They are taking as many shots as they can. And the other thing that they do is that they took back Al Horford's contract and basically got a pick for it. That's all they did to get this latest draft pick that they got. It's basically, remember when Brock Osweiler got traded from the Texans to the Browns?
Yes!
And the Browns basically said, we'll take Brock Osweiler's contract, but you have to attach a pick to it. It was exactly the same thing the Thunder just did. So there should be more teams in the NBA doing that. Teams that are at the bottom of the rungs, they should be doing the exact same thing. Taking back bad contracts to get draft picks out of them. And all draft picks are at the end of the day are just ideas. They're just really great ideas. Like, hopefully, this idea will hit. Just like in any other business.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing, too, and I want to get into this more a little bit later, but you look at the NBA right now, and the drafts are going to be different over the next couple of years because what you're going to see is more and more guys not playing in college. They're not going to be at the NCAA. James Wiseman played 3 games in college. He got kicked out by the NCAA. He got drafted number 2 overall. LaMelo Ball was playing everywhere but the NCAA. Pick number 3. So now you've got guys going to the G League. They're going to be playing there instead of spending a year in college. Like, the draft is going to be different. I don't know if it's going to get better. I don't know if it's going to get worse, but it's definitely going to change over the next couple of years. And how does that impact draft picks? I don't know. But having 17, you can do whatever you want. I mean, you go to Washington, and they've got Bradley Beal. That team's not going anywhere, right? John Wall wants to get out. I don't know who's begging to get John Wall, but if you're Bradley Beal and you want to go, and I'm Oklahoma City and I want Bradley Beal, which of course I would, it's just how many first-round picks do you want? And to live that kind of life is the dream. That is the best. Being Sam Presti is the best job in America right now.
But at the same time, a guy like Bradley Beal is going to feel like he's starting over, right? Right or wrong?
Well, he might, but if you go to Bradley Beal and say, okay, we want to bring you in, and here's the other guy that we're working on. You talk to him, and we'll bring him in as well. With 17 picks, you can do that. You can bring in 3 superstars for 5 picks a pop in the first round, and they can all happen at the same exact time. They've got that many picks. 5 first-round picks!
They do, but again, these are not as valuable as, say, an NFL first-round pick. There are not as many prospects available. There aren't as many rounds where you can unearth players. You have to be really, really lucky to be able to hit on any NBA first-round pick that are not in the upper echelon of first-round picks with guys that are highly regarded as top prospects. You have to know what you're doing.
Well, you do, but when you get 5 shots, or in this case right now,
right.
17
shots. Right, so the Sixers
shots had
how many shots when you guys are all in your process, and you drafted Nerlens Noel, not great.
No.
You drafted Markelle Fultz, not great.
I don't want to talk about that one.
And the 2 guys you did draft, they can't really play together. So, and the 5th guy, I don't even remember who it was. Who was it?
Well, I'm trying to think because they've had so many. I mean, they even drafted
Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah. No, that worked out great. Come on. He just got a nice deal in Detroit. He's
so out
fine.
Of the 3 out of the 5, Noel, Jahlil Okafor, Markelle Fultz. What are we talking about?
Yeah, Michael Carter-Williams was the rookie of the year, and then they traded him, so that's fun.
So, they get all the credit in the world for they're taking as many swings at the plate as they possibly can.
Yeah.
They get all the credit in the world for that. They're getting as many cards at the blackjack table as they possibly can. That's what these are. But you got to hit on them. And the Sixers are the perfect example of, hey, these don't work out all the time.
Well, they don't, but if you're Oklahoma City, you still try to convince people they will, and you can sell them. So we'll see where it goes. But being Sam Presti with 17 first-round picks, 17 of them through 2026, is just the most unbelievable. Like, he should go in the Hall of Fame just for that alone. That's amazing to me. He is a legend for that. So if you want to talk about it, 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn. That's James Graceffo. Again, 855-212-4227. 877-337-4227.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
So, we spent a lot of time the last segment talking about Anthony Edwards, who said, when asked about how much he loves basketball, quote, "I'm still not really into it. I love basketball. Basketball is my heart. But football is where I started, so I'll never forget about that. Don't get me wrong, basketball is my number one because I feel like it's going to get me through a lot of the stuff I need to get through." Which I have no problem with that comment whatsoever. None.
Like life.
Yes. It's just how it is. For so many professional athletes, it's just how it is. But apparently somebody's on the line and wants to chew my head off here. So let's go to Ryan, who's in Maryland. Hello, Ryan.
Yeah, man. I'm sorry, man. It's late, and you just gave me a burst of energy. I completely disagree. I don't even know where to start, man. But I'll try and make this brief with three points, three examples. Let me just start off with a quick question. How many times in your professional sports covering career have you seen a very talented, very good athlete get paid and all of a sudden just year by year fall off, you know? How many times have you seen that? That's an attitude problem, you know?
Well, not always, because sometimes you get that money and you go to a team that's a bad fit, but you go because you get the money, so you're on a worse team, your stats go down, and that's just where your career lands. It's not all these guys get paid and then they stop caring. They're just in bad spots.
Yeah, half the time the league has time, you know, they stay with their own team. Anyway, second thing is, you know, you listen to any of these guys. Let's take the NFL. It's the best example. Any of these guys on NFL Network, the veterans, the Hall of Famers, you know, when they talk about the game, they talk about football with such respect and such pride. They have a true love for the game. And those are all the players that are on there because they had extremely successful careers, you know. You look at any Hall of Famer speech, and you hear it in their voice and, you know, in their blood, and there's respect to that. And I don't think this guy doesn't deserve any respect for what he said or a pass. And, like, you take the show detail with Kobe talking about basketball, his love for the game. You know,
okay.
Or Tom Brady, how he's taken care of his body all these years, how the competitive, you know, how much he loves the game.
Well, hold on, Ryan, because Tom Brady taking care of his body, that doesn't even necessarily mean he loves football, and it doesn't mean that Anthony Edwards can't take care of his body because he's saying he doesn't love basketball, number one. Like, can't Anthony Edwards take care of his body even though basketball isn't his favorite sport? Can he do that?
The sole purpose. Yeah.
Okay. So then what's the, like, that's the problem, though. Like, if this isn't going to affect him as a player, as long as he shows up and he's willing to get coached and study film when he has to and get better as a player, then he's fine. It doesn't have to be his favorite sport. Like, there have been guys that I would guarantee you are Hall of Fame players in any sport that liked another sport more, happened to be really good at that sport, and continue to play. The number of guys that are in the NFL that wanted to play basketball, for example, there's a bunch of them, but they're all 6'1". So what are your odds getting in the NBA?
I'm talking about him being the maximizing his success, being as successful as possible. You take a recent example, Kyler Murray, you know, the option go into the NFL, which, you know, he obviously loved more, or play professional baseball. Now, I know with the current contracts, you know, they say you can make more money in baseball with current quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Forget the money. You know, he's been with what he loved, and look, it turned out.
Well, he said a couple of days ago that he still wishes he was playing baseball. He said, like, this week he said he still wishes he was playing baseball. So he likes baseball a lot, too.
I heard a recent headline on JR's show how he said he made the right choice, and everything worked out.
Well, it did because he's a multimillionaire and he's on track to be an MVP. So he made the right choice, but that doesn't mean he necessarily loves football more than baseball, though.
Yeah, last example. Have you seen that recent documentary on primetime when he played in the World Series, and at the same time he had a playoff game, you know? And he says there's a certain point in the documentary where he says, you know, when it comes to the two, he said one's, you know, talking about baseball, one's kind of your side girl, and you know, football is what I'm married to, and that's what he was most successful at. So my point is, your head's got to be in it, your heart's got to be in it 100%, and to be truly successful at it. And I just can't see the guy after a couple years, you know, having any type of career like Kobe Bryant in the NBA or Michael Jordan.
Well, here's the thing, right? I mean, you just cited Deion Sanders, who was literally playing two sports at the same time, where you've got this guy, Anthony Edwards, who's just playing basketball. That's it. Like, Ryan, I'm sorry, man. Like, I just thanks for the call. But, you know, like, he played two different sports at the same time. Anthony Edwards' whole argument is, or his whole, the whole thing that he was saying when they asked him about it, is he honestly said that football is my favorite sport, and if I've got free time and I'm watching one or the other, I'm watching football over basketball. There's nothing wrong with that. If it's his free time, if it's, hey, Anthony Edwards, we need you to watch some tape, and he goes, okay, let me see what LaDainian Tomlinson was doing back in 2003, then yeah, you've got a bit of a problem, right? That's an issue. If he decides, oh, you know, I'm going to go to the NFL now, and I've got a shot now that I've made them aware that I like football, then yeah, you could talk about, is he playing two sports, and is that fair, and is he going to be able to put enough energy into being a number one overall pick in the NBA? That's not going to happen. He got drafted by the Timberwolves. He's going to play for the Timberwolves. There's nothing to suggest right now that the guy is unprofessional, and so he'll be fine. It's all about him as a player and how he grows, and not whether or not he's watching football on a Thursday night when it's the off season. It just doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Ryan had it was a nice phone call. Here's the thing. He ended it by saying, man, I just can't imagine this guy being Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. Guess what? Most people are not. Most guys who pick up a basketball will never be Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. Another thing, he just got picked first in the draft. So I'd say he's doing pretty well right now. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
So for you to say, I can't understand how this guy is going to improve and be great and be all this. It's all a process. He decided to be honest, which is what we all want out of every guy who is a professional athlete. We all want them to be honest.
Supposedly.
Right.
Supposedly people want
honesty.
Supposedly
we all
want
people to be honest.
Yeah.
Now, Anthony Edwards gave you a dash of honesty. You decided you didn't like his dash of honesty. Now you want him to lie. Make up your mind. Just make up your mind. How great would it be if we had press conferences with NFL head coaches who say the most annoying, just worst crap every week? They say the most generic crap every week.
Just looking forward to next week.
How great would it be if once in your life an NFL head coach said what was really on his mind? They don't do it anymore. Coaches in every sport, they don't do it anymore. And to finish it off, Kyler Murray didn't want to ride a bus. Period. End of story. He didn't want to ride a bus in the middle of nowhere in California when he realized, oh, I can get this money immediately as the first pick in the NFL draft because I happen to know Cliff Kingsbury once or twice. I happen to know him, or I happen to come across him, and Cliff Kingsbury happens to like me very much. So anybody would have done what Kyler Murray did. Anyone. When they just said, oh, you could be the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals, or you could be playing in low A in Stockton, California. Period.
Yeah,
end of story.
You could be on a single A team wearing a novelty jersey that has you dressed up like a taco, Kyler. Like, okay, you know, is that really more appealing to being the number one pick in the draft?
It doesn't mean that Kyler Murray loves football more than he loves baseball. It doesn't mean that. He just made, and guess what? I'll hold it for you. A business decision. That's what this is. We all like it, and we all wish it could be what we thought sports was when we were kids. It's not. These are all business decisions.
That's why they get into it. Like, I had a fascinating conversation a couple of years ago with a guy that I worked with who's in the NFL. He was an NFL player, Pro Bowl NFL player. And I asked him about the XFL and all these other amateur leagues, you know, these backup leagues that have been around. And I go, well, how come a lot of these veteran guys don't go to those leagues? You see a few, like when the UFL or whatever, like Simeon Rice was in the UFL. That's a fun fact. Look it up. But you go through some of these leagues and there's only a couple of guys. Well, if you're going to take that kind of punishment, like, even if you're getting $200,000, that's not enough. That's not enough to have the conditions, to go through the injuries. You want the big-time NFL money. That makes it worth it. You play for the cash. There's nothing wrong with that, right? You go through a physical beat. I mean, again, I brought this up with Drew Brees like an hour ago. The dude broke 11 ribs, okay? He broke 11 of his ribs. How do you breathe? Collapsed lung. How do you breathe? He's going through that right now. He's getting paid a lot of money to go through that. You know, that's the trade-off you make. That's why those guys don't go into those lower leagues. It's a business thing. And so for Anthony Edwards to look at it and go, yeah, I like basketball, and I'm really good at it, so if I can go pro, that's what I'm going to do. If he's a high school kid and they're saying, listen, kid, this is your best chance to make that kind of life-changing money, that's what you do. Hey, I mean, how many times have we met people or know people, or maybe you are this person that you've said in college, you know, I don't really know what I want to do, but I'm good at numbers. I know accountants make a lot of money. I'm going to be an accountant. May not love my job, 9 to 5. Okay, it's a lot of work. 9 to 5, I don't love it. But when I get home, I've got a good bit of change in my pocket, and I can do whatever I want. Nothing wrong with that. If you're good at numbers and you can make that money, you make that decision. It's not your favorite thing, but it's good business. That's what you do. That's what everybody does everywhere. We like to do things that we're good at, and if you're good at it enough to make money, even if it's not your favorite thing, you'll do it. So those are the trade-offs you make. And I get, like, obviously we're sports fans. We love sports. We have obsessions for the games, intimate knowledge of, you know, guys' height and weight and what college they went to and what they did in college and personal incidents and who they're married to and whatever. Yeah, we know all these different things about people, personal things, because we love the sport so much. But that relationship that we have with the games is not the same as the people who play it. Not for all of them. Some of those people are actual junkies, love the sport. Even if they're not the best players, they could be a seventh rounder that plays in the league for 2 years. And maybe they just love the game and that helped them get to that point. But not everybody's like that. And to expect everybody to be like that kind of diehard is just crazy. I mean, there's too many players, too many teams, too many leagues to believe that every single person is just a diehard, this is all my life is about. They treat it seriously, and that's what you expect. You expect professionalism, but that doesn't mean it's diehard, ever-loving commitment. All of these guys aren't seeing every Phish concert all across America. You know what I mean? It's just different. If it's in town, they'll buy the ticket. You know, that's just what it is. So No hard feelings whatsoever from me to Anthony Edwards. Now, good for him. But if you want to get in and talk about it, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. By the way, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So that's one part of the equation. That's one of the things I want to get to. Here's another story that I thought was, this is mind-blowing in a totally different way. I don't know if you saw this, Graceffo. Did you see this story? There's a In-N-Out Burger that was built somewhere in Colorado. People were waiting 14 hours. Somebody waited in a car for 14 hours to get In-N-Out Burger, which is insane to me. Did you see that story?
No. What's so important about an In-N-Out Burger in Colorado? Just because they don't exist out there?
Yeah. Generally, it's been a West Coast thing.
Okay. Like, so this is like the first In-N-Out Burger in Colorado? Is that it?
I believe so.
Oh, okay. 14 hours, I mean, you got to find something else better to do with your life, right?
For a fast food burger, it's a good burger, don't get me wrong. I've been there a couple of times. I've been out to California, I want to say 3 times. I maybe had it, maybe each time I was out there, I can't remember.
When I went out to Vegas, all of my friends made plans to go to In-N-Out Burger, and I said, I'll join you. We did it in the daytime, I slept through it, didn't regret it at all. I was so hammered from the night before and hungover that I just slept through every phone call, every text message. I was like, oh, okay, I missed it. Oh, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's Vegas. That's how it goes. But, my God, like, it's good. Again, totally solid burger. But to wait 14 hours, I don't know if there's any food on the planet that I would wait 14 hours for. That's a lot of time.
Yeah, no. Couldn't think of one food that I would wait 14 hours for.
Right? Like, wait a week. let the lines die down a little bit. Everybody gets their pictures on Instagram.
But you know what goes on in Colorado. I mean, you know.
Well, I guess it's easier to pass those 14 hours.
People are hungry.
Yeah.
Because they live in Colorado.
All right.
And so, you know why they're hungry.
Well, yeah. They're smoking joints. It's legal.
We're going to dance around it.
No, it's legal there. Who cares?
All right.
Let's be honest about it. We know what we're talking about anyway. So, yeah, that's what's going on. If that's what you're doing and you're killing 14 hours with some edibles, good for you, I guess, if that's what you want to do. But, like, 14 hours is a lot of time to wait for a fast food burger. I'm sorry. It's a good burger. I eat most fast food. Like, there isn't a single chain that I really turn my nose up to when it comes to a burger. I'll eat all of it. Doesn't matter to me. But just wait.
I mean, fat guy in little coat.
These people, you could just be fat. They don't necessarily have to be, you know, the dope smokers.
Well, yeah, that could be it too. Or the, like, you have some fast food blog. You do, like, fast food reviews, or you need to get it up on Yelp. Like, I love the people that are very serious Yelp reviewers, by the way. It's a fascinating breed. Because you get some people who are just like, yes, this is a lovely little restaurant. I like them so much. 5 stars, which, like, who knows? That could have been somebody that works with the restaurant, for all I know. But on the other side of it, you get people who are like, I went to this restaurant, and they microwaved my meatballs for 5 seconds, and how dare they? It's like,
get in your mouth.
Yeah, you got the meatballs for $4, okay? Let's not act
get
like
in your mouth.
This is some premium eatership that you're getting involved with here. Just get it in your mouth. And move on.
Get in your mouth.
Yeah, you're getting a microwave sometimes. That's what a restaurant will do on certain occasions. So I love those super angry reviews like that. Maybe that's what it was with In-N-Out Burger. They're just like, I need to be the first person to interview this In-N-Out Burger on Yelp. Like,
I thought Colorado's supposed to be a beautiful place, too. Aren't there other things to do?
Well, maybe that makes it bearable to be outside for 14 hours in waiting, but I just get it next week. Like, this is the Popeye's chicken sandwich on a much smaller scale.
Well, just yeah, nobody's getting killed or murdered or stabbed.
Not
over
yet.
In-N-Out Burger in Colorado.
Well, I mean, if they, you know, given the laws there, maybe those numbers
every
have gone
man
down
for himself for the In-N-Out Burger.
Who knows?
This is the apocalypse.
It could be.
Which, by the way, in all these uncertain times, you're really going out there waiting on a line for 14 hours?
If you're in your car, I guess. I mean, well, that's it. Is you just have nothing else to do? What else are you doing?
Buy a Christmas tree. Decorate a Christmas tree.
Maybe. It's almost to the point where that isn't an appalling thing to do. If you want to buy it now, Thanksgiving's in a couple of days, fine. But I'll be honest about it, and maybe this is where I'm being too harsh on those people that waited for 14 hours at an In-N-Out Burger. I had a point like 2 weeks ago where just being in the house all the time and not doing anything, and like I'm such a social creature, you know, like I'm normally just zipping from one place to the other just to see people, just because I like being around people. I like, you know, I've got friends all over the place, so I just want to, when I got a couple of hours, I go and see somebody. That's my instinct. But just sitting around all the time, I was like, you know, I just need to go to a Target and feel alive for a while. Like I just walked around a Target and that made my day. It was sad, but it's so true. I just needed like an hour in a Target, just like picking up random things in the toy aisle. Oh, what are they making? Oh, look what Lego's up to now. Like it just, I needed that in the worst way. Maybe that's what this was.
You really needed the comfort of a big box retailer to feel good about yourself.
I know. It was just like, I just needed to be out and looking at things that I wasn't used to seeing every second of the day. I bought a pair of jeans. It was an adventure. I'll tell my kids about it when I'm 70. You know, life changing. But maybe that's the only thing I could think of. But wow. A lot of time for a $4 burger. Okay. It's a lot of time. Now, if you want to get in, 855-212-4227. Have you ever waited that long for anything? What have you waited in line for that long? I would love to hear if you've got something where you've been in line for 14 hours, 12 hours, whatever it is, a long amount of time. 855-212-4227. You can also join the show on Twitter. It's Vince Quinn. That's all one word. At It's Vince Quinn.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Whole scheme. Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani,
inevitable. Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.